Young entertainment professionals.
The fundraiser for my father is just indicative of the support that, you know, everyone in the YEP community seems to have, and not even seems, but in my experience has had for one another, and it's something that I'm super, super grateful to get to be a part of.
Libby Ulrich here, your host of the Young Entertainment Professionals podcast. In this series, we sit down with the people cultivating the entertainment industry and the influence YEP has had on their music industry community. Rocky Block is joining me today. He is a songwriter, artist, and musician, and he gives a whole lot of great advice in this episode. And his father, Billy Block, who was a huge influence on his path in choosing music as a career. Billy was a prominent executive in the music industry. He's a radio host, drummer, and champion of music stars here in Nashville. In 2014, YEP held an event fundraiser, Play One for Billy, at the Listening Room Cafe and raised over $42,000 for his father's fight with melanoma. In addition to the influence Rocky's parents had on him, we also talk about his music and the writers he looks up to in developing his craft and forming his network. Rocky was recently signed to Bob DePiro and currently plays bass for Farron Rachels. Before we get to our conversation with Rocky Block, I want to remind you to submit your YEP success story to successstories@yepnashville.com. You could be featured on an upcoming episode. Now to our conversation with Rocky Block. Welcome, Rocky Block, to the YEP podcast.
Oh, thank you.
How's your week?
Week's good. This is kind of Monday for me.
Yeah.
I got back to town last night, and I'm excited to be here. So I slept in my own bed last night, which is always like it's a privilege at this point.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm here in town for a while, and I'm excited about it.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
So you're originally from Nashville.
Born and raised. Yep. That's right.
So talk about that. Talk about your dad and just, you know, being basically living in the music industry since you were a kid.
Yeah. So I grew up here in Nashville, and my father was like a relatively prominent concert producer, promoter, radio host, drummer, and did like a lot in the community here. So it was definitely, looking back on it, it was quite a crazy upbringing, I guess, being around a lot of his friends that for me were like just his friends, but mm-hmm. for a lot of other people or something other than that, you know, yeah. or bigger than that or whatever. And, you know, just being immersed in not only the music, but like watching how hard, my dad really had to work to like, you know, provide a sustainable living for our family was, definitely something that now I remember in a much different light than, like he's working a lot, you know, it's like, right. wow, that was pretty impressive. Like how you made that work, I guess.
So when did you decide that the music industry was going to be something serious for you? And, you know, what did that mean to kind of look back on how he, you know, led his career in a way that was like, I'm going to, you know, work as hard as I can to, you know, make things happen?
I mean, to be completely honest, looking back on it, I love sports, and I was a big sports guy in like middle school, I guess, and before then. And I kind of got to high school, and I have a brother that still plays football here in town at like Tennessee State. And we had played together in middle school, and mm-hmm. I was going to like be on the high school football team. And I like showed up for like the summer workouts, and I kind of just looked around, and I was like, and I'm not like a big dude, but I'm definitely like not small, I guess.
Right. Right.
But I looked around, and I was like, these guys are way too big to be hitting me for the next 4 years. And this whole sports thing is just like, not going to happen for me.
Yeah.
And I'm already like kind of good at this other thing that I have fun doing. So I'm just going to do that. And that was like the actual like realization of like, yeah, I really don't have many other options. I'm not good at math. I don't always speak well, you know, like there's not really, like, I kind of just like had to look at everything. And the reality is too, is like music's what I enjoy doing more than anything else. So I think once I like kind of came to that realization, probably around 14, 15, was when I kind of actively started looking around the world that I was kind of already in, which was that world with my parents being in the business and trying to actually learn rather than just be around it. And the more I learned, like, it was like, whoa, wow, like, you know, this really isn't probably what I should do if I ever want to make any money, mm-hmm. but it is a lot of fun. So that's kind of, that was right around when I actually made the decision to like, this is what I'm going to devote a lot of my time to and work really hard at.
Has there been any advice that either of them have offered you that you've kept?
Oh, tons.
Yeah.
I mean, one-liners for days from my dad and, you know, ultimately, like, I think that the greatest thing I've gotten from my mom, from the whole thing, cause she's a really talented singer and helped my dad with everything on the business side of things.
Right.
And she was really like, you know, an integral part of making everything happen. But like the thing she did the most for me that really allowed me to explore everything that I needed to explore to ultimately get to like kind of through everything that I needed to weed out.
Right.
Was like my understanding that like she was going to like love me like unconditionally kind of. And I know that doesn't really make a ton of sense, but like I had to kind of make like some bad decisions and like a lot of mistakes and like, but like I was always allowed not to necessarily do those things.
Right.
But like, you know, given, I guess, like
you were allowed to be accountable for your own actions.
Right. Right. Yeah. It was like, okay, like here's the repercussions of that. You're going to have to deal with these. And a lot of times it's just handed down from her, but also like, this is why. And it's because like, you know, I want to help you grow in this, but like my dad, I mean, there's a million things that honestly, for one thing that served me really well is, I've played for a lot of people as a sideman. And the thing my dad told me when I was like 16, I was going through this thing where I was playing in a band and there was like a girl that I had a crush on in the band.
Yeah.
And he said, Rocky, you can either have the girl or the gig. And honestly, that stuck with me because it's true. I have to make that decision of like, and that doesn't mean I can have it. But like, you know what I mean?
You
have to either be professional or sacrifice that professionalism and deal with those consequences afterwards.
Yeah.
So that's been like one of the many things that like I've looked at and said, okay, like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Or, you know, like when I was looking to like figure out something to actually play and get better, I was like, hey, like, what should I do? I was like, well, bass is like the thing that is in the most demand that the least people that are 15 years old want to actually learn. You know, because everyone wants to play drums or guitar as, you know, starting out.
Yeah.
So I got a head start at actually trying to get good at that one thing. So I don't know. There's been countless things, several. But those are two of the first things that popped into my head, I guess.
Totally. Yeah. And so you play bass for Farron Rachel's.
Yep. Yeah.
And you told me, you know, before we started recording that you started early with her.
Yeah. We've been playing together for some years now. I think I started playing with her like right after high school. So I graduated high school in May 2015. Somehow, some way, I got out of high school. And probably the summer, fall right after that was when a buddy of mine who was playing for her at the time called me to kind of sub for him. And he went on to do other things. And I ended up kind of taking over there. And yeah, I've played with her ever since, and I love her like a sister, and she's one of my best friends, and we normally have a lot of fun together, and, you know, but she's great, and I'm happy for her, and it's a fun time.
So before we get to your solo projects, what kind of advice do you have to offer to those musicians that are, you know, performing for lots of different people, how to manage their time, you know, how to decide what gig is right for them, et cetera?
For me, it's like, it's come down to priorities mm-hmm. and, also like what my time is worth to me.
Right.
Not to anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that's like, that's the thing that I've had to learn the hard way is like, if I were to take a gig for X amount of money, if I take that gig, that's me telling myself what my time's worth.
Interesting. Yeah.
Because in a lot of situations, like, oh, that's what they think my time's worth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. everyone's entitled to what they think my time's worth. The only thing that actually matters, really, and sometimes I don't have control over it, but the only thing that matters is what I know my time's worth to me. So for me, it's like, if I don't feel like my time is worth, mm-hmm. you know, the amount of money I'm getting out of something, then I come to the, you know, decision of, do I need the money versus do I need the time to pursue other priorities? So that for me has, you know, been kind of, because once I commit to something, I don't like decommit from it, because that for me is like, you know, I don't want to be that guy. I want to be trusted that when I commit to something that I'm going to be there. So I have to just prioritize, like, not necessarily like an artist or like, which now I do, just because Farron and I have a great relationship, like business wise, and she, you know, we work consistently, mm-hmm. but like, just like prioritize my time and the other things that I could be doing with that time versus how much I need the money at any certain point.
Cause then you start overcommitting. Cause I know I do that.
Right.
I'll commit to like a I don't know, like a graphic design project, for example, or something like that. And then I'll like in the middle be like, why did I commit to this? This is like way more time spent than I'm actually getting paid. Or like at the end of the day, is this really contributing to my goal?
Right.
Or to the path that I'm going on. So like, you know, I get what you're saying.
So learning how to distinguish, like, okay,
right.
Is this worth either, is this towards my goal? And if yes, I'll generally take much, much less money for something
mm-hmm.
if I feel like it's me working towards my goal.
Right.
But if it's not working towards my goal, then that time I need to be compensated more for. But if it's towards my goal, I'll do a lot of things for free.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just prioritizing that and understanding exactly that. Is this going to get me to where I am trying to go? And if not, what's that worth to me?
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know if
that
really...
Is it worth the stress? Is it worth, you know, the labor, et cetera?
Yeah. Is it worth the time I could be spending achieving that goal?
Yeah.
Or getting there?
Yeah. And I think there's so much pressure too, you know, for our generation to hustle and to do a lot and to say yes to everything. And I think like it gets to the point when you know where you're headed, you don't really have to say yes to everything. I think that that those seasons change.
Right. And it's all about the season, because I've been in like points where I have to say yes mm-hmm. because I have rent to pay.
Right.
And that's fine too, because that's a different goal that I have to prioritize. Because, you know, mm-hmm. I have to prioritize making rent.
You know,
at that
Nashville
point.
Rent, I mean, it's not getting any lower. So. No.
So it's all situational and understanding priorities, and for me, like where I'm trying to be and whether or not something, you know, gets me closer to that or not, and how to proceed accordingly, which I don't always do super well, but I've learned to do better at, I guess.
Yeah. I think we're all learning, you know?
Yeah.
So, in terms of your goals, can you talk about your solo career, your music that you've released so far, and kind of the track that you're on now to keeping that up?
Yeah. So, I like put out a soul record, around this, it's October now.
Yeah. You had a song. I saw there was a song that was released too through, Lightning 100. It was really great.
Yeah. Thank you. So I worked with Lightning 100 on like kind of the release of a single last year in the summer last year. And then, a 5-song EP, actually in October last year. And, they were great in helping me with that. And, you know, it seemed to be well received, and, kind of from there, I ended up, you know, being able to play bigger shows and get in front of more people. And, you know, I ultimately like met my publisher along the way, started writing with him. And then, in June officially, like, I guess, well, we put pen to paper mm-hmm. only a couple weeks ago, but
congrats.
In June, thank you.
Yeah.
In June, we started work like the term and working together, and that's been, you know, a change, but fantastic. And you know, I'm just getting to, you know, I try to learn rather than like go into a room feeling like I know, because honestly, I, you know, I don't exactly feel like a professional, but I feel like it's probably a good thing, maybe.
Yeah, maybe you feel like you would rather be in the learning state of mind.
Right.
Then, because I think you could still be a professional in that way.
Right.
But,
No,
but the expert level. Yeah.
Right. Well, so yeah. It's great being around. Really, it's just great being around mm-hmm. people that are better than I am.
Right.
Because I want to be better. And, you know, I am now in a position to be around people who, you know, even without like direct teaching, mm-hmm. but like through osmosis, I can become better by being around, which is just kind of something I, mm-hmm. I try to do anyways. But yeah, so it's been an exciting time and it's been a lot of fun and I'm kind of, I guess with trying to stay on track here, as far as what's coming next, I'm kind of trying to take what I did on that last record and quite honestly, make it a little bit less about like all the music and look what I can do with
production
all these
wise.
Chords and okay. yeah, and make it more about the song. Mm. And inherently make it more accessible to a larger audience, I guess. But also doing that production wise and making it a little bit more modern. And that's been like a really fun and challenging process. Because I feel like because I am a musician as well. When I was younger, I gravitated towards like music for musicians mm-hmm. rather than music for the listener.
Interesting.
And as I've gotten older, I've really learned to appreciate like a song and a lyric and a concise melody.
Right. Yeah.
Much more. So I think that's what I gravitate towards more now when I'm listening to it. So I think part of that is why that's kind of where my stuff is headed, which I'm stoked about.
Yeah, we are too.
Thanks.
So are there any writers out there that you've looked up to that have taught you more about the songwriting craft that you want to apply to
yeah,
music?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so my publisher is a guy named Bob DePiro, yeah. who has had a little bit of success.
just a tiny bit, I mean.
And yeah, he's taught me a lot. I actually just came from a write with him. And, you know, he was talking about how he had moved down here from Ohio in, I think, like the 80s and had, like, never really listened to, you know, country music and never really, like, you know, but loved, like, came here and loved it mm-hmm. and, like, learned to kind of speak that language, I guess. And just talking about how language in writing, is so important, I guess. And yeah, so I mean, Bob's been a great like mentor and just example, I guess, to have around.
And he's the one that signed you to your
yes.
pub deal, correct?
Yes, he is my publisher. So it's been very like humbling and mm-hmm. Pretty cool to be around him as much as I've gotten to be. And yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of other people like even like super like young dudes and like there's like this guy Sam Burgesson's like 19 mm-hmm. and we've been working together a lot and I mean he just like he blows me away. Like he understands so well like just how to be concise and you know that's like melodically more than anything because I hear a lot of notes in my head. As far as like where things could go. And he's like, he kind of calms me down a little bit. And my buddy Jeff Garrison does a great job of that too. We work together. We have a bit of like a production duo that we work together with. And he's taught me a lot about the recording process and, you know, all of the computer stuff that goes over my head most of the time.
I've heard a couple musicians or songwriters tell me that they see colors when they hear music. That's real for some. I'm just like, I want, like, what is that?
I believe that that's true for them.
Okay.
If I shut my eyes and listen to music, I see the same darkness that you do. I promise.
That's awesome.
But, you know, just by nature of, I think, studying music on my own, really, but like studying it as much as I have, like, mm-hmm. I like wish I was a little more dumb when it comes to like the possibilities of where I can go in a song melodically. So like being around like excellent pop writers is really helpful with that. Being around like country writers who I think are the best lyricists in the world has helped me like, you know, understand how to like, you know, or just being around it and seeing them craft like stories the way they do and twist hooks the way they do is, you know, that's all stuff I try to take in because I mean, it's brilliant.
How often do you write country versus pop? Is it more on the pop side because that's kind of what you do? Or do you like to just, is there more of a balance? Like what's?
I'd say I probably like 4 out of every 5 is probably pop. Mm. I'm open to that changing, I guess. Mm-hmm. I just like writing. And I think today more than ever, like there's pieces that intertwine between country and pop. But no, I write for myself a good bit. So because I do more of the pop thing, I inherently write more pop. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I have country artists that I work with, writing with and producing. And, you know, I really enjoy that too. Cause it's like a different, you know, muscle to flex or to work out, not flex. I guess it'd be flexing if I was like great at it. But it'd be like, it's working out, you know, it's like working out a different muscle. So, you know, it's just a different form of creativity a little bit, you know, because I have to think about things a little bit differently and try to speak a little bit different of a language, you know.
There definitely is the language and the tone and how you set up the story in the beginning and then.
Right.
Yeah. Where that leads.
But they're both equally as like fun for me, I guess.
What kind of music did you listen to growing up? is that different than what you perform now, or has it influenced?
Yeah, it definitely influences it. You know, I listen to a lot of like the stuff that my dad listened to. And like the first record I ever like that he ever put on that I was like, I love this is like John Cleary and the Absolute Monster Gentleman from 2002. Like he's like a New Orleans, like, you know, keyboard player guy and piano player guy, and it's like you know, second line soul funk stuff, and I like heard that, went down that rabbit hole, got into the, like the old soul stuff with like, you know, Donny Hathaway, Marvin Gaye, you know, the Stevie Wonder stuff, then like, you know, then got into the Michael Jackson stuff, and then it was like I was big into gospel music for a while because I loved how it like. And like I felt like it took jazz and made it cool. I don't know if that makes any sense. Like it was all these like crazy chords and like stuff that you generally wouldn't hear, but like in a way that like I felt like it was still like happening. And then I got really into like the late 90s neo soul movement when I was in like high school. And yeah, so it's all been like kind of more like soul groove based stuff that I like gravitated towards. Yeah. But like in the last few years since I've kind of opened, like that was like, I was like proud of that being all I listened to though, in like a bad way. Like I shouldn't have been. So ever since I kind of got over that and like, you know, being too cool to listen to like what's on the radio and like
mainstream,
and like being from here and like my dad doing a lot of the Americana and country stuff and like wanting to rebel from that, you know? You know, I like love those Shania Twain records. I like love all the Vince Gill stuff. Like all like
I grew up on a lot of Vince Gill.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Alan Jackson, that whole
Right. Yeah, and Farron's been great for me with when it comes to that. Cause it was like, hey, like you're in this fan with me, like you gotta listen to what I wanna listen to. And you know, you listen to enough of it and you start to identify with some of it. And I'm really grateful for that because it kind of opened my eyes to like this whole other, like, you know, there's so much music I haven't listened to because for like 8 years, it was like, no, I'm like proud that this is all I listen to. And like, it's not what everyone else.
And really,
listens
it's all
to.
Opinion, you know, right, at the end of the day, everyone's free to listen to, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, like, most of it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It really is. So like it's been a blast the last few years, like allowing myself to like and listen to stuff that isn't like in the soul vein. Mm. And it's changed the way I go about things for sure.
So you played our recent Rewind show.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like for you and playing an old school like the TV film song?
It was a blast. It was so much fun. I mean, you know, I got to the rehearsal and I like knew a couple of the dudes in the band and it was fun to see them and like kind of you know, be in a different element than really I get to be right now, because I'm not really playing out as an artist right now. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of that the last couple of years, and just while I'm working on this next thing, I'm trying to take a step back from that and kind of, you know, just get that in order, I guess. So I had so much fun getting, I sang Can Heat by Jamiroquai.
Okay. I need to show you a video after this. So he used to be my intern. I'm over at Nashville Songwriters Association. Okay. And his name's Cooper, and I have a photo, a video of him dancing to that backstage with the real dance.
Oh my gosh.
While you were singing, it's the most hilarious thing ever.
So I actually brought out Joel, Jay Human.
Yeah.
Because I knew, I know this about myself. I can dance, but it doesn't look good when I do it, right? So I was like, okay, I guess I just need to get this guy.
Yeah.
Who can dance and looks good doing it to come on stage and dance the dance while I sing it. Because that's a lot of words in that song.
There's a lot of words and it's a lot. It's just,
it's a lot.
I mean, Napoleon, I mean, if you haven't seen the movie, I mean, you're.
Yeah, we're
way behind.
Yeah, come on.
Everyone knows what we're talking about right now. So, yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, it was so much fun to like just get up and honestly not have something in my hands while I was on stage. Cause even when I do my artist thing, generally I have like a guitar in my hands or I'm playing keys. Mm-hmm. So like, I felt a little naked, like not having anything to hold on to while I was singing.
Yeah.
But it like forced me out of my comfort zone. And like, I kind of had to like, you know, do something with, I felt like Ricky Bobby in Talladega Nights, where he keeps like lifting his hands a little bit and a little bit. And he's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. So I like definitely practiced in the mirror the night before, like, okay, what am I going
to
do with my
hands?
But
you had Joel there to distract from the fact of like, yeah,
but I am like waving my hands out in a, you know, fury.
Hey, but if there's a song to ever feel awkward, it's that song.
Oh yeah, it
fits totally.
It's perfect.
Like, yeah.
But no, I knew I probably wouldn't remember all the words, the four key changes, and all the dance moves. So I went with the first two, and I was like, Joel, I know you can dance the heck out of this, man. Like, come do it. And it was a great night, and like, you know, made some friends and got to see some old ones and yeah, I hope you guys have me back sometime. That'd be a blast.
Of course. Yeah, no. That was one of my favorite Rewind shows.
Yeah.
I'm almost close to saying Wewind. Getting my R's and W's. Rewind. But talk about the Yep community what they've meant to you. Because I know in 2014, they raised around $42,000 for your dad.
Yeah.
Which is like incredible.
Yeah, that was a very generous thing, you know, and that time, was like, at that time, I was like, I shouldn't say, I was like almost too young though, still, to actually be a part of the community, I guess, because I was 17 and in high school, you know, like I wasn't a professional. I was still hanging out with my high school friends, but like what I did get to see was like, you know, the outpour of love and support and selflessness from, you know, the community that ultimately like, you know, showed me like, hey, this is like, you know, this is something that you are going to want to be a part of.
Yeah.
When you're ready for it, because the reality is like, I wasn't ready. I wasn't old enough. I wasn't ready. I wasn't out in the real world yet. I was still like a high school kid, but you know, and that's why like I was so excited when, you know, I was asked to come do that, the Rewind show. And, you know, when I got to, you know, start meeting people out when like, cause I, you know, I didn't turn 21 until a few, like not a few, but like 6 months ago. So I wasn't even able to really go to a lot of the things that really like, I guess help, you know, intertwine into the community. But ever since I have, it's been a blast. And I think the fundraiser for my father is just indicative of the support that, you know, everyone in the YEP community seems to have, and not even seems, but in my experience has had for one another. And it's something that I'm super, super grateful to like get to be a part of.
And I will say, like, I've worked a little bit outside of the music industry, not for very long, because obviously, to my point, I feel like the music industry, as hard as it is sometimes, it's also, you find a huge group of people who are very empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike any other industry out there, they understand what it means to feel and to go through things, whether that be good or bad. And I think that, like, something like this is a testament to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, it's kind of a beautiful thing how simultaneously like cutthroat and nurturing the music business can be.
Yep.
Because it is still a business, but you know, part of that is like, you know, your relationships with people, and not even like, oh, like, yeah, I can say I know somebody, but like, you know, like, actually like do I know this person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is you're like, you're not going to be able to get to know everybody, but if like, you know, I feel like by association, any like, for me it was like, oh, like, yeah, like I know what that means to me, because I've seen that, like, I've seen what they've done for other people, I've seen what they've done for my family, like I know that, like, you know, that like that's something that I want to be a part of.
Well, we're excited that you've been a part of it, A, and B, a part of this podcast.
Yeah. Me too.
So where can people follow you? Where can they keep up?
They can follow me on all the social medias.
Yep.
My name is Rocky Block, and all of them reflect that. It's all just Rocky Block. I think there might be a one after my name on Twitter.
Is there another Rocky Block on Twitter?
I'm not sure. I think like that might have been like a game time decision back in like 2010 whenever I joined, and I was just like, one at the end. It's a user. It's
case.
A username now. It's not just my name.
It's
that's
not
my
just me.
Username.
You gotta add something a little bit to it.
Yeah.
That's great.
But yeah, you can find me all over there. I'm sure there's some super outdated videos on YouTube that you can find.
but now they know.
Yeah, now you know. But yeah, that's probably the best place right now. I have a website domain, but I don't have a website. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, Google.
It doesn't make sense to have it that way.
Will make sense when you release new music.
Oh yeah,
eventually.
Oh yeah,
down the
but
road.
At that point, I will for sure have that.
So they should just look at the social medias.
Yeah, just find me on social media. Yeah, that's probably the best way.
Awesome. Well, it was great to have you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining me for another YEP podcast episode. Check out YEPNashville.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search at YEP Nashville. We'll be releasing updates about our end of the year Rewind show happening November 29th. If you have not been to a Rewind show, you have to go. They are a blast. We'll also be releasing updates on weekly events happening around town and a whole lot more. Until next time, discover, cultivate, accelerate.